Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for the final installment of our very special conversation with James O'Keefe, a remarkable young man with already great accomplishments to his credit. He has his detractors, to be sure. Many of them would like to silence him and shut down Project Veritas through legal action, if not through character assassination. I'm very proud to say that he has nonetheless soldiered on and is recounting some of not only the things that he's been striving to do in his, as he calls it, fight for truth in the era of fake news, but also the ways in which he has done it. And the book starts off with a very interesting account of a conversation you had, I believe, in 2013 with a man you describe as Citizen Trump at the time. This was before he obviously had thrown his hat into the ring for the presidency. Talk a little bit about your interaction with him on that occasion, James O'Keefe, and whether you have continued your relationship in the years since.
Well, I think there's a synergy between Trump and Project Veritas. I think that's the right word, a synergy. Trump has been able to lob the football field, the football over the press pool, right? And the press pool is beside itself because they have lost some of their power, and they're sort of, I mean, to borrow Dinesh D'Souza's words, in the 2016 election, they were huffing and puffing, trying to drag that Hillary Clinton across the finish line, and they failed. And all the weaponry of all the organs of the propaganda outlet, so we're trying to do this, and they failed. So Trump and Veritas have something in common. We believe in the, and I, this is maybe I, Trump hasn't stated it, but it's implicit, we believe in the power of free people, that if given the information, will make the best decisions, that people need to have the information for themselves, that they shouldn't trust sort of the delivered to them by these outlets like CNN, some compressing and digesting and interpreting reality. So we have that in common. I met with him in 2013. And what was extraordinary about the meeting was that, you know, Trump said, have you ever thought about looking into Obama's records at Columbia? And I quickly dawned upon me after talking to him for half an hour that I don't think he disbelieved that Obama was born in the United States. I think what he was getting at was that perhaps Obama misrepresented himself to Columbia University about where he was born in order to gain advantage of various policies that would help him get in. And there was another thing that happened with the publishing company where it was misrepresented that he was born in Kenya. So Trump just said, why can't you get access to these records, investigate, look into that? And at the time, this was like 5 years ago, I didn't really have the requisite team to do that. These days, I probably could do something like that. Of course, I would have to do it legally, and I'd have to talk to the officials the way that we do. So that was the first meeting with Trump. In subsequent meetings, he would compliment crossing the border dressed like Osama bin Laden. He loved that video.
That is classic.
And he you know, I was targeted by DHS and detained at the borders and airports, and we talked about that.
No senses of humor, I take it.
He loved the videos exposing the violence at Trump rallies, and I showed him those videos. I went to visit him in his office right before he announced and right after he announced, and it was just him and Corey Lewandowski. And on the whiteboard, it just said, let Trump be Trump. That's what it said on Corey Lewandowski's whiteboard days after he announced, when nobody, it was a one in a million shot. So, I mean, there are some synergies there, and there's some discussion in the book about me meeting him.
But let me ask you, because in a way, the perfect example of the phenomenon you're talking about, what's come to now be called fake news, some believe it's really just propaganda as much as anything, but he has been targeted by it in a way that that makes your own travails pale by comparison, I think it's fair to say, bad as they've been. But as you've sort of sussed this out and where we are with respect to the so-called mainstream media and the role that it plays, James O'Keefe, and the way it does its job, Jake Tapper among them, I think, what is the import for a republic like ours if the Fourth Estate, as it's called, with all of the protections and immunities that it has under the First Amendment, is actually playing a nakedly partisan role, in this case specifically against Donald Trump.
I think it's become much more nakedly partisan. It's Andrew Breitbart used to call it the Democrat media complex, which I've heard tossed around. It's not just political, it's economic. You know, Noam Chomsky wrote a book called Manufacturing Consent. And it's some political, but it's we went undercover into CNN back in July, and the guy said it's all about ratings. It's all just for ratings. The CEO of CNN, Jeff Zucker, said in an internal meeting, he said, enough of the climate accords, let's get back to Russia. And the Washington Post national security reporters who were confiding to us that it's all about just, you know, selling newspapers, and it's about, we don't know where these opinions come from. We don't know if there's even a story on Russia yet. So I think it's economics, sort of hysteria, doubling down syndrome. They've lost the election, and now they have to, they cannot admit fault. They can't apologize. They have to double down, play to their base, and play to the people, the hands that feed them. So it's this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. And the only way that it's going to be challenged is if independent people like me and other people, like not always on the right, some people like Michael Hastings was a center-left individual, they have to sort of go out on their own and forge a path. And the trials and travails and triumphs and tragedies that come with that journey, it's pretty bad. And I think that the people of this country need to know about that and need to know what is required to do this type of work, and the moral courage, not just on my team, but the temptation to criticize people for bucking the system and exposing the truth. There was one article, Frank, today came out in the New York Times today saying that all of our videos are fake and that we use CGI to make people's lips move. I'm not making this up. And they're saying we have to safeguard against people like James O'Keefe who make fake videos.
Well, let me afford you an opportunity to respond to that charge directly. Do you use any kind of doctoring or selective editing, for that matter, to make people say or present information in a way that is other than what you have found to be the unvarnished truth?
No, but the mainstream media does. I mean, people keep resigning from our videos. They keep saying, admitting they said what they said. They keep saying, oh, I apologize. I was too honest, said Dan Lamothe. Or CNN said, we support diversity of personal opinion after our videos. And Bob Cramer said, I need to step back from the Hillary Clinton campaign. I've become a distraction. We've never been sued for editing. We've been sued for invasion of privacy, but that's a different issue. And that's an issue that we're contesting. In these government offices. But no, Katie Couric was sued for defamation. She doctored the gun documentary. John Oliver was sued by energy companies. Alison Camerota was exposed when you fattened that clip and saw how she edited out people's comments. The media doctors and edits and transfixes and misinterprets and misrepresents everything they do because they use words instead of pictures.
And in a way, what you've just describe really is what we've seen so much of, particularly since the Hillary Clinton email scandals broke and then what has flowed from them in terms of the various assertions of Russian collusion and so on. And that is deflection, isn't it? It's people accusing you of doing what they're doing themselves. James O'Keefe, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and the work you do. And I know my audience does as well. You are an extraordinary resource as well as a vehicle for accountability at a time when we need more of it, not less. I hope you will keep up, and know you will keep up, the great work you do at the Project Veritas and Project Veritas Action. Find out more about it and how you can support it by buying, most immediately, American Pravda, My Fight for Truth in the Era of Fake News. James, thank you. I hope we'll help talk often in 2018. Thanks for joining us today. Hope the rest of you will join us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.